whatever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
You're listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Michael Leahy, and we're going to be talking about a fascinating book he's written called Porn Nation, Conquering America's Number One Addiction. And of course, she's talking about sex and about pornography and about what has really gripped our nation is we've turned away from God and God's teaching to become a pagan nation, which would really probably make many Corinthians blush. You know, Corinth was known as a depraved nation at the time our Lord lived, but of course, what's going on in America today should make every one of us ashamed. Michael, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me this afternoon.
All right, fine. Well, of course, it's really a fascinating story, and I think it probably is parallel with an awful lot of people all across America. Have you found that as you've been talking about it?
You know, I really have, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is because I just feel that there is power in the story, and in anyone's story, but mine in particular happens to be one that is around a subject that we don't talk about very much. So, yes, I've had a lot of people come forward and identify with this, both as, you know, the individuals going through this and struggling with lust and sexual temptation, even to the point of addiction, and also those who are their loved ones who are really, you know, they're really in a tight spot of trying to figure out what to do next. So it's caused some interesting dilemmas.
Well, of course, this is great that you just tell our listeners just a little bit about the story, because, of course, I think it's so characteristic of what happens to people, and especially to men who have become victims of the pornography, which is so readily available today, not only in magazines, but now right on the Internet. You can watch it in the seclusion of your home, and nobody will ever know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for one thing, just to give people some perspective, I'm 50 years old, 50-year-old man, and so, you know, I experienced or was exposed to pornography for the first time, long before the Internet, of course. And it was pretty hard to get to the material, but when I was 11 years old, some kids that I was going to school with, it was a private school, were, you know, off in the corner of the playground snickering and laughing at something, and they were kind of waving me over to come take a look, and, you know, lo and behold, they showed me a deck of playing cards, and on the back of the deck of playing cards were pictures of naked women. And, you know, I'd never seen a picture of a naked woman before, and here I am all of 11 years old, and I noticed right away, you know, two reactions. Number one, I was attracted to it. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I was drawn, you know, somehow to the material, and it was almost like this coursing of adrenaline running through my veins. There was a real titillation and excitement at looking what I was looking at, but at the same time, I felt this sense of guilt or shame associated with what I was looking at, like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be looking at this. And that really was, that dichotomy was really the foundation of what would become a 30-year relationship with the material. Over time, just to kind of put it in a nutshell, I continued to feed on it, and I write in my book about this theme that kind of ran through my life. It's what you feed grows and what you starve dies. And as I continued to feed on this, it just started to strangle the real relationships that I had in my life, both with women and men, but later definitely with my wife and my children. So by the time the internet did come along, I had already been pretty well steeped in the pornographic, you know, belief system that basically says that all men, all real men, are sexual conquerors, and you know, real women are simply valued based on their body shape and size. And it had really skewed me in my relationship with my wife and others to the point where this became kind of a focal point of my life.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S. Though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. Visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of his kingdom.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Michael Leahy. We're talking about his book, Foreign Nation, and Conquering America's Number One Addiction. And, of course, when you get into the into this whole thing, of course, then it was, since you're already having an illicit affair with the imaginary people, it's not very hard to have an illicit affair with a real woman, especially when she's very agreeable to it. And of course, this means, of course, cheating on your wife and of course, laying yourself open for the horrible disaster that's going to develop, you know, which comes from a divorce. And so, basically, you have this, what, a 2-year relationship with Teresa?
Yeah, it was about that long. And it was only about 4.5 months before, or about 2.5 months before my wife had suspected something. And you know, I confessed it to her, and so we were dealing with it as a couple, you know, and she's not really sure whether I want to stay in the marriage or not. And of course, this was more than just an affair. This was an addictive relationship that I was involved in. So it was a very destructive environment for my wife, for our children, and that's what eventually led us to decide to get a divorce, because I was very unrepentant. I had no desire whatsoever to leave this way of life.
And of course, your wife really was. She was a Christian, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
and so was I. And a lot of people don't realize that. But you know, I had been a Christian throughout most of my marriage, and so this had evolved into an addiction while I was, you know, being, I guess, a hypocrite, if you will, you know, looking like someone on the outside, but definitely having an undealt with sin life on the inside.
All right, fine. And of course, you find out that Teresa's cheating on you as well. So this really complicates the matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I realized that I got exactly what I was looking for. This was a woman who had her own addiction to, you know, relationships, and I was one of about five men who were, you know, who were married with children that she was involved with. And so it didn't really hit me until about a year after my divorce that, you know, I had played a high-stakes gambling, you know, game here and really lost. And it was all because of, you know, my self-centered, self-focused and selfish nature to pursue, you know, my lust for the material and really to use it to numb the pain and to anesthetize, if you will. That's what I was doing as a child and that's what I was doing as an adult. So that's when I hit bottom. It was about a year after my divorce.
And of course, you go into counseling. You're trying to get rid of this. You're trying to overcome it. But how do you overcome it? This is the real problem. Is you have this addiction. It's simply part of you. It's been part of you for 25 years or more.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge problem. It's a huge issue to try and overcome. I mean, after learning to lie and really becoming a pathological liar from a very early age, the number one thing you have to deal with in recovery is learning to tell the truth. And the hardest thing to do is to really, you know, tell the truth to yourself and believe it. And that's one of the things that's one of the reasons why I knew from the very beginning, once I hit bottom, and when I knew that everyone had abandoned me and left me, and well, deservedly so, because of what I had done, that I sensed that God was right there, that He had never left my side. And even though I had left Him, it was in a moment of suicidal thought that, you know, God just nudged my heart and said, Michael, I'm right here. I'm just waiting for you. And that was a real breakthrough for me. So I pursued, you know, both a behavioral recovery as well as a spiritual recovery. And that was really a huge thing. I didn't realize at the time how big it was, because I don't believe that you can ever become free from this addiction without dealing with the soul level or the spiritual issues in your life.
Well, because one of the points you make in your book is the fact that this battle is really in your mind. It's all in your mind. Everything that goes on is in your mind. There's this battle between good and evil that, of course, encompasses you. And you talk about this as really a spiritual battle in the mind of the people who are involved with sexual addiction.
Absolutely. And, you know, you are as you think and what you think. And when we fill our minds, you know, with so much sexual content and material, one of the things I write about in my book is that, you know, I'm not critical just of the pornography industry and the adult entertainment industry, but really of mainstream media. I mean, we know that there are over 14,000 sexual images and messages that are broadcast every year through a variety of mediums to the average consumer. And that's just an overwhelming amount of sexual content. And now that's being mixed in with violence, because advertisers and marketers are having a harder time getting their products noticed and getting their messages out. So, you know, we're really experiments in this grand design, this, you know, cultural downswirl, if you will. And I think what we're going to see is more and more people acting out sexually, doing things that surprise people, like one certain, you know, past president or, you know, a recent governor in New York, other people who are doing things that are really surprising. Peter Cook, who, you know, married to Christie Brinkley and, you know, reportedly paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to a kid, basically, that he was having sex with. I mean, a lot of people are just, they don't get it. They don't understand how are people, you know, ending up in a place like this. And that's where I really want them to read my book, read my story. And here's what a 30-year relationship with this material can do to you in terms of taking all your priorities and turning them on their head.
And, of course, you use a number of examples of, you know, here's a football-loving 14-year-old boy with a quiet parents. He pleads guilty to raping four primary school girls in a park in England. And the forensic pathologist who actually saw him, or psychiatrist, you know, felt the teenagers, he had violent sexual images that had been inspired. And, of course, we're seeing pornography all the time. Certainly, you may not go to the pornographic channels, but so much of what we see on television and what we see in the movies is, frankly, pornography. And Sex and the City and all these programs they have on there, and they scantily cast women with very low, cut dresses, and they're actually, of course, designed to bring out the breast. And, of course, this attracts men's attention. And, of course, really, we live in a pagan society. How does a Christian live in a pagan society without falling victim to all the temptations that are there?
Yeah. And, you know, in our culture, we've fallen into this trap, this lie of where we believe that it's more important to be noticed than it is to be known. And I think that's a really dangerous place for the younger kids. And I spend a lot of time going around the country and throughout the world now talking to college and university students. And, you know, where I'm seeing them affected most is they're becoming so desensitized to being exposed to so much pornographic content that they're really struggling to understand what intimacy in relationships is all about. And I'm not talking just about sexual or physical intimacy, but, you know, just allowing yourself to be fully known. And, of course, you know, there's a really strong parallel there with our intimacy that God desires in a relationship with us. And I think the two, you know, get crossed and confused for a lot of people, and you know, that's why I think it's so important to address your relationship with God first, you know, as you're going through recovery before you can really engage in healthy relationships with others.
And, of course, I think that every man, very naturally, is attracted to almost every woman out there. But, of course, you've got to make this constant decision. You're married. This is your wife. She was your wife the rest of your life. And you have to actively make an effort not to look at other women as sexual beings, just as human beings. And of course, if they are dressed provocatively, I certainly feel sorry for them, because they obviously have real problems in their life as well. And the end result of what we're seeing today is a society with 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. That's just the viral diseases. How many have other bacterial, sexually transmitted infections? We will probably never know. But we do know 60 million Americans, that's certainly almost one-fifth of our population, with sexually transmitted viral disease. And when you stop and realize we've got a lot of children out there who are not going to have it, we've got a very high percentage of young people of all ages with sexually transmitted diseases. And if you have promiscuous, you have an excellent chance of contracting one of those diseases. But we never, of course, point these things out. But even more than that, the psychological impact that this has on the individual who engages in this. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely, it's true. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are told, you know, well, don't have sex, or, you know, don't look at pornography because it's wrong, or the Bible says so, or whatever. But, you know, no one ever really takes the time to explain to them why. You know, why, beyond the physical consequences, why there's emotional and psychological and spiritual and relational harm that you're doing to yourself. You know, consuming pornography is really... It's really, they call it a gateway drug, if you will, to, you know, promiscuity and acting out sexually. And that was certainly the experience that I had. But really, it's deeper than that. It's really a form of self-abuse. And that's why, you know, the Bible, I think, so clearly points out that sexual sin is unlike any other sin. It's a sin against our own body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the way that I've seen that manifested in the lives of others is when they talk to me about their sin life, their sexual sin, there's this ongoing sense of not being able to really forgive yourself. And I think that stands out more than anything else is, you know, we just feel like this is the unforgivable sin, that God will never understand, that he'll never forgive us for this. And so we start listening to the self-condemnation and the condemning messages from the enemy, as opposed to, you know, the grace and mercy that God has to offer us if we'll just, you know, confess our sins and repent and allow him to guide us out of the pit.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and you have a question or comment on this subject, I think it is a vitally important subject. Because my personal opinion is that there really are people who want to corrupt our society, who do have an agenda. Of course, a lot of the pornographers are just out for the buck, but there are other people, certainly working within our courts and certainly within our political system, who have allowed pornography. We didn't have a problem like this when I was growing up. I mean, we had local laws, and they were enforced. And people who were certainly at that time, if a couple was living together out of wedlock, we called it living in sin. Today, we don't even talk about sin. What changed? Did God's rules change? No. Society changed, and it didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent. We can thank Dr. Kinsey. We can help Hugh Hefner. But, of course, we can also help the people within our courts and within our law enforcement who allowed this to happen because they have a different agenda. We'll be back in just a moment and welcome your calls.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times, in the last days, many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark an implanted chip, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Some believe these things are in the future. Others believe that it's in the past. 1 John states, the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth? And what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the Beast, and its mark, write to The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 888-211-1715. That's 888-211-1715.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. GasFreedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know. Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. During the month of July, visit GasFreedom.info and receive $100 off of your order. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit GasFreedom.info. That's GasFreedom.info. Or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Henry's calling in from Connecticut. He's, of course, comparing sexuality here in the United States to Europe, and he thinks things are far better in Europe. My goodness, you know, they don't have all these prudish attitudes towards sex that we supposedly have here
in America. Well, I think it's stupid here.
Oh, I'm fine. Well, you have your right. I will tell you, I've lived in Europe, and I will tell you it's totally...
Where?
I lived in Germany. I've traveled extensively in France and Great Britain. And these are countries that are atheistic countries that have no moral values at all.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Actually, the original religion of white Europeans was paganism.
I see. Let's go ahead and get Michael Leahy's response. How would you respond to what Henry is saying? Saying, if we were just a little bit more open sexually, everything would be just fine.
Well, you know,
just natural.
Go ahead.
I'm definitely in favor of having more dialogue, more public dialogue about this. I'm not necessarily sure that, you know, that the answer is, you know, I don't know how far you would go to, you know, define being natural and making that the normal course. I will mention this to you, that I have been working extensively with people in certain areas in Central Europe where they have a lot of really, really lurid, hardcore pornography that's accessible on the street corners, that's at, you know, kids' eye level length, and it can get pretty brutal in some of those areas. And what they've noticed, the folks who have been living there for over 10 years, and they're Americans, but they're over there, you know, working with college students and all, they said that they've noticed that the women in Europe, at least in this area, have to dress much more provocatively than even a lot of the women have in the United States, because they're competing not with just, you know, the salacious images that you see on mainstream media, but they're competing with hardcore pornography that you see on almost every street corner. So, you know, the other thing is, I hear this comment a lot, especially from students. Actually, at least both of you gentlemen have spent some time over there.
I sound a lot older than I am on the phone, but I'm around that age group.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't buy the idea that, I mean, there's nothing that's been definitive that says, okay, they're more open with their sexuality. There's, you know, places like Amsterdam and all that. They don't have these problems. They don't have as many, you know, like sex crimes, blah, blah, blah. You know, no one's ever really proven any of those things definitively.
No, they do.
But I think more importantly is when you look at the quality and the type of relationships they have. For instance, in Italy, it's pretty much known that, you know, in Italy, if you're a man, you typically have a mistress. I mean, it doesn't really matter that you're married or not.
Macho, male machoism.
Henry, please don't keep interrupting. I'm going to have to cut you off there. I think that basically, of course, Europe has returned to its pagan roots, and this is the problem that we're dealing with. Before Christianity came in, we had pagan societies, and women were simply used as sex objects, and that is what they're used for in Europe today. And as a result of that, of course, the family is breaking down. The average family over there, for instance, in Spain and Italy, they have 1.1 children per family and give two generations. Why? Forget about the population of Italy and France. It's going to be non-existent. Or either that or primarily Muslim. I mean, actually, the only reason that, of course, France has 1.8 children per family is because the Muslims there, probably the French people are only having 1.2 children per family. You destroy sexuality. You destroy the relationship between a man and a woman. Of course, you don't end up having children. Everything is about having a good time and returning to your pagan roots. Well, of course, it was really Christianity that gave women the stature that they have in our society. Isn't it the same we're foregoing that and going to return them to being simply sex objects as they were within the pagan societies? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I think people who like want the sexuality go over and live in Europe. But of course, the tragedy is we've brought those European mores to America, and we're destroying the very fabric of our society, because you destroy sexual morality, you destroy a nation. That's why, of course, the people who want to destroy America are doing a pretty good job of it. Let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Herman, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, well, I have two questions. The first question is regarding a progression from so-called innocent pornography, Playboy, or ads coming in the mail and so forth, to a point where a man may lose interest in his girlfriend or his wife because he is having these much more beautiful women, which, albeit are not live, but their images in front of him. Do you see this as a big problem among, quote-unquote, normal males here in America?
Absolutely. Do we need to break for a commercial? Or
well, we will tell you when we're going to break, but you made that point very well in your book, Michael, that
I think
a real live woman can't compete with the images that you create in your mind. Go ahead.
Well, and I think more importantly, it's not so much the beauty as much as it is the sexual excitement and the titillation, you know, the rush that you get, the dopamine production, the adrenaline production. When you take a look around and you look at people like...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TebowTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TebowTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TebowTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TebowTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Attention, GCN listeners. Would you like to watch uncensored, unregulated, even banned TV on your computer? Well, now you can watch satellite TV on your PC with an extremely simple hookup that allows computer owners to pick up more channels than any sane person can even watch without paying monthly cable or satellite fees. Here's the story. New video feed technology lets anyone with a high-speed internet connection gain instant access to an endless list of underground channels from all over the globe. And here's the best part. It's 100% legal. And it works at home, the office, or even in other countries to grab television channels and video feeds at your command. GCN listeners can use it to watch hundreds of conspiracy videos absolutely free. Best of all, you could be watching free TV on your PC in 5 minutes or less. It's that simple. Just go to www.orderfreetv.com. That's www.orderfreetv.com. To watch unregulated TV on your PC, go to www.orderfreetv.com.
Leahy. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon is Michael Leahy. We're talking about his book, Porn Nation. We're talking about sexual addiction, and certainly Herman, calling it from Carmel, was asking, well, is it possible to overcome this on your own? Is it possible to overcome the addiction on your own? And, of course, Michael's response was, go ahead and repeat what you said.
Yeah, well, again, I was starting to mention that I really needed someone else's intervention. I needed someone else to help. The main thing was that I had to decide that I was ready for that. And in fact, I wrote an entire chapter called, you know, Do You Want to Get Well? Because, you know, for the average individual, whether they become fully addicted or whether this is just a problematic behavior for you, you would be best served by, even without being addicted, getting some help from some counseling. Because usually this is related, you know, this kind of behavior where you start to kind of lose control, and you know that you're, you know, you know that you're going to the material or unwanted sexual behaviors more than you'd like to, it's usually related to something, you know, really down at the root of who you are. And a lot of times that emanates from your childhood, from, you know, family of origin issues. For me, I discovered that, you know, a lot of this came out of conflicts that I had with my father and some real disappointment that I suffered, you know, and I was a preteen, in moving from beautiful California, as a matter of fact, up to the great white north of eastern Washington. And, you know, just a lot of things hit me at the time where I was not prepared for it. And that was about when I learned about, you know, pornography. And so I started turning to it, and I formed this relationship with the material that obviously was a pathological, dysfunctional one that affected me in relationships ever since. So I think it's good to go through that counseling. I actually think what's even more productive is if you can get plugged into a sexual addiction recovery group or a group of men who are willing to at least speak out about this issue and talk with each other honestly and openly about it. You usually don't find that unless you're in a recovery group. And the only sad thing about that is a lot of people who aren't even addicted could really benefit from the kind of conversations that go on in those rooms. But certainly if it is approaching compulsive or addictive behavior, I make a strong recommendation towards those 12-step type groups, Sexaholics Anonymous. There's a number of them that go by any of a number of names, and some faith-based ones as well, which is, you know, I used all those things in my recovery as well as just trying to detox from the material, cutting the cable on my TV for about a year, getting rid of the internet out of my home for about a year, just kind of starting to reverse that principle that I spoke about earlier of what you feed grows and what you starve dies, and having it work in my favor.
All right, fine. Anything else you'd like to ask, Herman?
How important is it for a man's wife to know that this is a problem in his life, and isn't there a risk that she might leave him?
There's a risk, and that's why probably the best first step to take if this is a problem, or if you recognize that this is a problem in your life, is to go see a counselor and to get some good guidance on that. Because what a lot of people have a tendency to do is to either, you know, share absolutely nothing with their wife or their spouse, or they make the mistake of sharing everything. And there's the other issue is, in addition to how much you share, is when you share it. And I would say, you know, before really having that sit-down conversation with your wife, unless it's been a part of your dialogue throughout your whole marriage, if this is just something that's never been talked about, I would at least have one or two counseling sessions with a counselor who really understands this issue and ask them point blank, you know, here's my situation. I want to be honest with my wife. I want to see, you know, some healing and improvement in our relationship, but, you know, I need some guidance on, you know, how I share this with her, you know, how much I tell her about what I've been doing and you know, when I do that. You don't ever want to, you know, just flat out lie or, you know, obscure the truth. But at the same time, you also don't want to just heave it on their shoulders at your benefit to get it off of yours. And then it becomes incredibly destructive, you know, for them. So I think it's something that you need to realize is going to be, it's going to take time. It's going to be a healing process, and it's something that you really need to get some guidance on.
Anything else you wanted to ask, Herman?
And you've spoken around the country. How often do you see where someone that's gone through this can be restored to a normal relationship with his wife?
I've seen it a lot, and you know, these are all great questions because these are the kind of questions that I had when I was first facing this. There's never a guarantee that you know, the relationship will be restored or even strengthened, but I would say that you know, if it's really up to you, the person who's seeking out or needs help, if you're really committed to this, if you're really committed to recovery, then you'd be amazed as to how, you know, much willingness and ability a person has to forgive and to move past it. And sure, there will be a lot of hurt. There will be a lot of, you know, mistrust. There's going to be some anger. There's going to be a whole flood of all different kinds of emotions. But if you demonstrate through actions that you're really serious about overcoming this problem that's been in your life for even longer than you've known them, then I really believe that it can strengthen your relationship and you can have an even stronger marriage. So it's just going to be rough riding for a while. And you know, usually for guys like us, it's taken us decades to get into this spot, so we're not going to be out of it in a month or, you know, a couple weeks or even a year. You know, it's going to take some time, but I think right away, as long as you're really working hard on your recovery, and she knows that, and you have accountability and you're getting help, then you're both going to see big improvements in your relationship.
Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We did have a caller from Connecticut, but he dropped off. So if you have a question or comment for Michael, give us a call. Herman, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
One final comment. George Barna and his research recently found that one of the topics that is very little talked about in the church today, general churches, is sex, proper mm-hmm. kinds of sex. And the other one is hell, and the other one is proper money or giving. But any comments on that? I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman.
Sure. Thanks, Herman. He's absolutely right. You know, in an area where we are dying of this in the church, over, you know, our unwillingness to deal openly and honestly with this, you know, some of the biggest taboos and biggest hang-ups in our culture come in our religious institutions. And I was certainly, you know, kind of the product of that, and I've seen that it hasn't changed that much in over time. So one of the things that I've done is I've gone around, I've spoken in churches, just really sharing my story. And again, there's power in the story that even goes beyond, I think, what a preacher can do sometimes, because the average person, I mean, you can pretty much share everything, like I have in my book and you know, in media and all. And the average person can really relate to that. They can see themselves in part of your story, and then you can also give them the hope and communicate that there is help, and also, you know, communicate very clearly how important this relationship with God is that we have, or that we really need to have, to be able to understand, you know, our design and how He created us as sexual beings. So the church is moving slowly towards talking about this, but if I told you how many churches have contacted me in the last 4 years that I've been doing this, you'd be saddened. There aren't nearly as many as should be, and so hopefully that will change with, you know, programs and books like this.
Well, you know, I've actually read studies that suggest that a significant number of significant percentage of Christian men are addicted to pornography, and mm-hmm. what's even more frightening is that a significant number of Christian ministers are certainly addicted to pornography. Have you run into those figures?
Yeah, I have, and I've got really mixed feelings about that. I think that this is where we get into trouble in the church, especially in the church, of considering struggles that people have with lust and with sexual immorality and with sexual sin, and giving them a blanket label of addiction. I think if you really, truly understand what addiction looks like, we're talking about only like 6 to 8% of the U.S. population is sexually addicted. That's about 18 to 22, 24 million people. Now, and that's men and women. The vast majority are men, but women are the fastest growing subgroup. But when you look at some of the numbers in the church, I ran into a statistic that said something like 60% of all Christian men are sexually addicted, which is absolutely not true. It couldn't be further from the truth. But I will tell you this. I do believe that our percentage, our numbers are higher than the general population. So if it's 6 to 8% in the general population, I really believe that maybe about 10% of Christian men struggle with sexual addiction. I think that's probably a fair number. And a lot of that has to do with the guilt and shame that has been heaped on us, you know, through the church and through, you know, the lack of good sexual education growing up, but also through the element of the condemning spirit that we get, the self-condemnation and the guilt, the unhealthy guilt that comes through spiritual warfare from the enemy of telling us and reminding us, oh, you know, you think you're a Christian? I mean, look at this, you know, look what you just did. You think God would love you for that? You know, we're in a spiritual battle here. We're in a battle for our hearts and minds, you know, and the enemy wants to do anything to mar God's glory. So I think we deal with some added factors that because we're not talking about this issue in the church and we're not doing it honestly enough, it's causing more Christian men to be even more susceptible to becoming addicted. Well, no, but not anywhere close to the 60% number.
You talk about sexual education, sex education. What do you think of the sex education programs we have in our schools across America today?
Not a lot. You know, I've heard it. I know that it varies, and it seems to be kind of an all-swim, all-inclusive, you know, everything goes, anything goes type of sexual education, which obviously, you know, any Christian man or woman is always going to be at odds with that. But what I'm referring to more than anything is the kind of sexual education that can come from within the home, from the parents. You know, I love my parents to death. My father passed away a number of years ago. My mom's still living, and I don't fault them for this, but now, their parents never talked to them about sex, and so we never had those conversations. And the kind of sex education that I got, that was opposing the views and things that I was learning through pornography, were very, very shallow, coming from, you know, the church and the private school that I was going to. So, you know, I threw that out the window, and I would have loved to have had more conversations and dialogues with my parents about my sexuality and, you know, relationships and things to do and not to do in dating, but it was just really taboo. It was off limits, and that's the kind of sex education that we need first and foremost, is the healthy dialogue in age-appropriate ways that goes on right in the home.
Well, of course, somebody called in and asked what constitutes sexual addiction, and how would you respond to them? They said, what constitutes sexual addiction?
You know, you follow the addiction model. Addiction is a cycle. It's a cycle of moving through guilt and shame into acting out behavior, and then, you know, cycling yourself back through the, you know, can't believe I did what I didn't want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, and so now because I feel so shameful and guilty, I'm acting out all over again. The easiest way to think of what constitutes sexual addiction is to think of what constitutes alcoholism or drug addiction. They both work very much the same, except that this is a behavioral addiction. So, you know, we're fixated on the it. It's never about sex, just like it's, you know, not about alcohol or it's not about the drugs, but it's about, you know, meeting legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. And what differentiates an addiction from, you know, just a habitual behavior, for instance, habitual unwanted sexual behavior, is when your life does become unmanageable, when you aren't able to control your behavior, when you're acting out sexually, whether it's masturbating to pornography or you know, voyeurism or exhibitionism or any of a number of things, when you're acting out even in the face of consequences, even knowing you could be arrested or you could get a sexually transmitted disease or you could lose your marriage or you could lose, you know, your job, what have you, you still find yourself powerless to be able to stop. And those are really the main hallmarks of addiction. So that's why I say I'm really critical in the church when they use the word addiction when it really means someone struggled with sexual sin. I'm talking about something that becomes a pathological relationship that starts to really affect your lives and the lives of others around you detrimentally. And it does go down a downward spiral, and it can end in death. In fact, about 70% of all people who are sexually addicted, we found through studies, have actually contemplated suicide. So that goes a lot further than just kind of the everyman's battle with lust and sexual sin.
Somebody had called in, asked about some of the books they call better sex books and the videos for your marriage. Do these constitute pornography?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of, you know, use of nudity and even in the arts and in literature, you know, some of that would be considered maybe more, you know, borderline erotica or you know, heavier into the art side of it than it is just, you know, material design with the express purpose to arouse you sexually, which, by the way, is the definition of pornography. So, you know, I think if someone really clearly has a need in that area because, you know, they and their mate are struggling with their sex life and they truly have instructional videos or, you know, instructional books that they're using for educational purposes and not, you know, to get aroused, then, you know, no, I wouldn't say that constitutes pornography. But unfortunately, because of the way we've been designed to respond to sexual stimuli, it's really hard to not respond to it as if it's pornography. So a big part of it becomes, you know, what is it in the eyes of the beholder? And from that standpoint, you know, I've talked to many, many men, and I'm one of them, to early in our, you know, early on in our lives. Pornography for us was the Sears catalog or JCPenney's or, you know, the circulars that came around with, you know, bra and panty ads. And, you know, to this day, there are guys who, I know who, you know, have had Victoria's Secret catalogs mailed to their place of business. Now, the people who created those, you know, may say that, hey, you know, we're just trying to sell products.
Well, I don't believe that for one moment. I think that they have a very definite agenda. I mean, certainly there'd be a way to advertise underwear and products without the way that they do this. Very, very provocative.
Absolutely.
Victoria's Secret, I think, is part of this whole effort to corrupt our society, and I say this unashamedly. I every time they have their advertisements on television, I'm really shocked at really what they're doing. Then, really, Chris, what we're doing is having an impact on men. It's also having an impact on women, and they think that, my goodness, that's what attracts men. That's what I want to do. And then we see a woman with dresses that conceal almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Abercrombie and Fitch and other marketers. I mean, let's face it, sex sells, and it has for centuries, and it will continue to. And so, you know, we're not going to get away from the people who have a lower, you know, moral path, and are going to continue to leverage the use of sex to sell products. The difference is how we view that and understanding going in, you know, what constitutes, you know, pornographic material that really is kind of a danger area for us and probably a better place to stay away from.
All right, fine. Well, our guest is Michael Leahy. How can people get your book, Michael?
To Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, any of those, or they can go to our website at PornNationTheBook.com, and we have more information for them there on how to get it.
PornNationTheBook.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
So I just want to give people that encouragement and just remind them that, you know, regardless of how bad things get, God is always there.
And don't you think that there's a lot of selfishness involved in this, looking back, and, you know, that rather than thinking about the impact on your sons and the impact on your wife, of course, I mean, I realize you feel terrible about this at the present time, but this is such a devastating thing for the entire family, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, and it really comes down to the question of, you know, who's God in your life? I mean, if you're really pursuing the selfish pursuit of pornography, then, you know, you are acting like the all-consuming, all-powerful God in your life. And other people are going to be dependent on how good of a God you are. And most of us don't do a very good job at that. So, it is a very self-centered, selfish pursuit. And a big turning point for me, and I'm sure for our listeners, will be when they realize that He's God and they're not.
Amen to that. And, of course, it's the whole idea of really the way we should live our lives is to fear God and keep His commandments. And it's very, very simple. Fear God and keep His commandments, and then you're not going to get into the trouble that is so readily there. And it's a shame that we don't indoctrinate our children with that, you know, from the very young age, and certainly talk to them about sex. But in the final analysis, you follow God's law, you're not going to have problems. You don't follow God's law, you're laying yourself open to all sorts of heartaches. Well, our guest has been Michael Leahy, and his book, Porn Nation, and of course the website, www.pornnationthebook.com. Michael, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, and I want to thank you for writing the book. I'm sure that it brought back a lot of memories, but maybe it helped in the healing process as well.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me on your show.
Bye-bye, and God bless.
All right, likewise.
Oh, bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Dr. Stan, and our first guest with Patrick Leahy. I should say Michael Leahy. And we have a book. If you'd be interested in getting a copy, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And the book, Porn Nation. And it's an important book because I think many men struggle with this. I think, unfortunately, women begin to struggle with this as well because they watch these soap operas and they watch Sex and the City and Sex and Lipstick and Lipstick in the City or whatever it would be. And they focus our attention on sex, 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 sex. And this is not done accidentally. I honestly believe with all my heart that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and the survival of Christian civilization. I believe the Christian civilization is broken down in Europe and in many parts of the world, and is certainly well along the way to breaking down here. And the only thing that's going to save us is, of course, a revival, but we've had two great revivals in America going back to 1730 and 1830, and it's about time for another one, don't you think? Because if the people of this country don't turn back to God, why, God will never again bless this nation. And as you see what's happening economically, as you see the threat of wars, as you see the increase in crime with over 2.3 million Americans in prison today, one in every 32 American adults is in prison, probation or parole. These things are not happening there. They're simply symptoms of a dying society. And it's about time we realize, of course, the problem is there really are people out there who want to destroy the moral and Christian foundation of this country, and that is why the Supreme Court justices took God and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments. And if you don't believe that, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and to find out that at least the majority of the Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court at the time of when they took God and prayer out of our school came from a secret society that worships the great architect of the universe, not the God of the Bible, but the great architect of the universe, who is Lucifer. And of course, if you don't understand the resurgence of Gnosticism in our society today, we have literally millions of Masons who've sworn an allegiance to the prince of this world, to Lucifer. Maybe they didn't know it. They thought maybe it was the great architect of the universe, and the great architect of the universe is whoever you want it to be. But of course, Masonry joins all religions together under the worship of a common God. And of course, there is no way that a Christian can have anything to do with this attitude. And you understand that there's a conspiracy against Christianity. There always has been. You go to the Bible and you look, get out your Strong's Concordance and look up the use of the word conspiracy, and God uses it over and over and over again to describe this conspiracy against God. When you understand that, you can understand what's going on. You can understand why, of course, our leaders lie. You can understand why, of course, our leaders condone torture. You can understand why there's an effort to destroy the religious and beliefs of the people of this nation, because destroy the religious beliefs, the Christian beliefs of this nation, we simply become another pagan nation that will readily go into the New World Order, the New World Religion. Let me suggest the book, The Porn Nation. Let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and over the DVD that goes with that. Let me suggest my talk on the forbidden secret and the new one we've just released called Secret Knowledge. There is secret knowledge out there, and once you understand that, everything begins to make sense. And without that knowledge, you can't understand anything going on. You need to see the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America, is beginning, very professionally done. And then, of course, Riddles and Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And believe me, the wicked people hide their emblems in plain sight all over our nation's capital, on the back of your dollar bill, in the right lower quadrant, on the television screen, if you're watching CBS. Understand that these people are flagrant in what they're doing, because they figure you're not smart enough to figure out what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MetaCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
MetaCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from your body. MetaCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MetaCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.